Well, happy Mother's Day, happy Mothering Sunday, whatever language you use in your home, may it be happy. Oh, goodness me. A happy Mother's Day, of course, to our mothers, to our grandmothers, and also to our adopted mothers. Aren't mothers great? Aren't they? Yep. You know, sadly, both my wife and I, we have both lost our mothers. And, wow. But of course, what do? Well, you have to find someone then, don't you, to adopt. So Angela and I made the brave decision to adopt Jerry Gibbs as our adopted mother. And here she is with our son. So this is Jerry with her adopted grandson. And Jerry is our son Tom's adopted grandmother. There is a difference in height there. Our son is over 6 feet tall. This was just a year ago, actually. And it's been a pleasure to adopt Jerry as our mum. Because we haven't got mums anymore. That's sad. But we love Jerry to bits. There was, in fact, an older gentleman who was on the operating table awaiting surgery, and he had insisted that his own son, a renowned surgeon, should perform the operation. And as he was about to get the anaesthetic, he asked to speak to his son. "Yes, Dad, what is it?" "Son, don't be nervous. Just do your best. And if the surgery doesn't go well and I don't make it, just remember this. Your mother is going to come and live with you." So I'm sure he was motivated to do a good job on the surgery. And I guess family is very much on our minds today. And family is really the subject of my talk this morning. And I think there are really good lessons we can learn about family, about relationship. And today I'm actually going to use one of the disciples of Jesus, those who followed him really closely. John was his name. And I'm going to use what John has to say about family and about relationship. Because interestingly, I feel that the disciple John had a particular insight into this. In fact, I'm going to read to you his account when Jesus died. And these are the words that we read in the Gospel of John, chapter 19. "Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother there and the disciple whom he loved," he was referring to himself with that phrase, "standing nearby, he said to his mother, 'Dear woman, here is your son.' And to the disciple John, 'Here is your mother.' And from that time on, this disciple took her into his home." Now, this is interesting. The disciple John took care of the mother of Jesus in his own home. So I feel he has an insight about what family life is all about, how important mothers are, and how important it is to look after your mum. And based on his insight, his understanding, I want to read to you from the first letter that he wrote. He wrote three that are recorded in the Bible for us. And in his first letter, this is chapter 3 of 1 John, starting at verse 1. And this is where I want us to focus our thoughts about family today. I'm reading to you now. "How great is the love the Father has lavished on us that we should be called children of God. And that is what we are. The reason the world does not know us is that it did not know him. Dear friends, now we are children of God. And what we will, he has not yet been made known. And what we will be has not yet been made known. But we know that when he appears, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is. Everyone who has this hope in him purifies himself just as he is pure. Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness. But you know that Jesus appeared so that he might take away our sins. And in him is no sin. No one who lives in him keeps on sinning. No one who continues to sin has either seen him or known him. And those are lovely words concerning God. How great is the love the Father has lavished on us. Remember, we're thinking about family today. I find this interesting that through life and as we get older, our role in the family scenario may change. And in fact, it may change many times. And I want to today use a hypothetical example of a man born in, say, 1964. That would make him, how old this year? 54. So, it starts off like this. 1964 to 1982. The world revolves around this young man. Life is all about him, his friends, his hobbies, his school, his studies, his wants, and his needs. And of course, in his life, there is room and space for his family. So these are the early years of this man's life. But then, 1982 to 1986, two big changes take place. The first is this: he leaves home to study at university. Now understand this, this man is still a son, he is still a brother in the family, but he's away from home now. But even more significantly, something else has happened in this man's life. He has fallen in love with a beautiful young lady. And all of a sudden, his life is no longer just about him. In fact, she becomes a very big part of his life. He becomes acquainted with new things like perfume and flowers and milk tray chocolates. There are other chocolates and other brands I would emphasize. But actually, he even turns down, and this may seem unbelievable to you, he even turns down the Boxing Day visit to Home Park to watch Plymouth Argyle play football in order to be with his girl. Now, this is serious. Well, let's move on in this man's life. 1986 to 1995, he's married this young lady now. And the I becomes we. He started a new family. I mean, he's still a son, he's still a brother, but he is now a husband. And another family comes into the picture. The in-laws. Now, just in case this message is being recorded, and just in case it ends up on a website, and just in case this man's in-laws should hear this message, can I say this? Aren't in-laws wonderful? Nah, let's move on. 1995 to 2017. Children come into the family. And boy, do they take over. I mean, they are a massive part of the lives of this married couple. Did you know that it is a proven fact that parenting is hereditary? If your parents didn't have children, it's unlikely you will have any. But they actually say it's also true that poverty is hereditary. You get that from your children. Now this man, he's still a son, he's still a brother, he's a husband, but now he is a father. You see, his role is changing through time in the life of his family, and his family is changing, but it's still there and it's still very important. Now, if I could bring this man's life up to date, right up to 2017, well, the youngest child has started university. So this man and his wife are back to being a couple again. However, the children are still around. And why is it they still cost this couple a lot of money, even when they're not in the home? And the future? Well, who knows? Maybe this son, this brother, this husband, he's also a nephew, a cousin, an uncle, a son-in-law, a brother-in-law, a father, might one day he himself become a grandfather. Well, that's possible, I suppose. He's way too young to be one right now. And if you were able to see this man for yourself, you would say, wow, you are too young to be a grandfather. I think you might say that. Aren't grandparents great though as well? I mean, Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday, grandmothers, grandparents. One day a little girl was sitting and watching her mother do the dishes at the kitchen sink. And she suddenly noticed that her mother had several strands of white hair sticking out, much in contrast to her brunette head. And she looked at her mother and inquisitively asked, "Mum, why are some of your hairs white?" And her mum replied, "Well, every time you do something naughty, one of my hairs turn white." Well, the little girl was silent for a while and then said, "Poor grandma, you must have been very naughty." Family and relationship. Look, there are some basic truths which I think we all know that it's at the very core of our humanity. We need love, acceptance. We need security and purpose. And do you know what? I believe that family and relationship is the true context in which those needs are both best expressed and best felt. We were designed to be part of a family. We were made to be in relationship. We thrive in community. And I believe that we see our emotional, physical, mental needs met within relationship, met within family. But do you realize that there is a spiritual side to you? It's not all physical with regard to our body. It's not all emotional with regard to our feelings. It's not all mental with regard to our thoughts. We have a spiritual side that needs family, that needs relationship. And you may well be a son, a brother, a husband. You may well be a daughter, a sister, a mother, a wife. But there is a spiritual relationship that you are missing if you haven't for yourself chosen to follow Jesus. Bringing it right back to the disciple John, who did he choose to follow? It was Jesus. And with Jesus, there was this relationship, and it pictures to us today of a possible relationship that we can have spiritually. And we miss that relationship when we don't know God as our Father. I believe that it's only God who can bring about a complete fulfillment and satisfaction in our lives. Only God can forgive us. for our sin and mend the brokenness. Only God can do that. Religion cannot do that, but relationship with God can. Now, why would I emphasize religion versus relationship? Well, the reason I strike a difference there is because with religion, this is the risk you run. Religion can make you feel as though life is all about a list of rules to obey, ceremonies and rituals to observe, events and activities that you must attend. And our identity in religion often looks like this: I am what I do. I am what I don't do. But relationship is deeper, is better, is more significant. Relationship with God is this: we connect with God himself, whereby he is our Father and we are his children. And the reason we try to do good things, the reason we try to do the right things, is not because there's a list, a to-do list to comply with, but because we want to please the Father. And this is what it's all about. Our identity now is created through who we are in Jesus Christ. And we are children of the King, and we are loved by him. Our identity isn't about what we do and observing rules and doing this and not doing that. Our identity is found in not religion, but in relationship with Father God. And it's all about the Father and the Son. And this special relationship we can have with Father God is only possible through Jesus. It's interesting that the disciple John, later on in his letter from the verses I read earlier, said this: we have seen and we testify that the Father, Father God, has sent his Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And if anyone acknowledges that Jesus is the Son of God, then God lives in him and he in God. Relationship. It's family. My wife Angela and I have two sons. How did they come into our family? Well, one was adopted and the other was born into our family. Both birth and adoption. And how do we get into the family of God? Well, Ephesians says this, that he chose us to be adopted as his sons and daughters through Jesus Christ. And John says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, isn't this wonderful? We enter God's family through both adoption and new birth. But in both cases, it's through Jesus Christ. Jesus gave his life on the cross. He died there for us. He sacrificed his life. Why? To do away with, to get rid of, the one thing that separates us from God, that keeps us from relationship with God. He died on the cross to take away that barrier, that separation that stops us from being children of God. And that is our sin, our brokenness, our mess. We're hopeless sometimes, aren't we? Left to our own devices. But Jesus came to forgive us, to cleanse us, and to bring us to Father God. Wow. I guess it's over to us now. Jesus did it all by dying on the cross, and it was all sealed by him raising from the dead. He is alive today. What are we going to do about that? Do we receive God or do we reject God? Do we receive the Father's love or do we reject the Father's love? You know, the day I acknowledge that Jesus Christ is Lord, the day I confess to him my own brokenness, my own sin, my own wrongdoing, the day I said, Jesus, I believe you, I trust in you, I give you my heart, I give you my life, I choose to follow you, then everything changed. And God forgives us. God gives us a new life, both through adoption and new birth into his family. And now he calls us his children, and we can call him our Father. And after that, everything changes. He changes my behaviors and my attitudes. He changes my mind and my heart. And do you know, he still is. I'm a work in progress. But God is my Father. I am his child. And if there's one thing I wanted to say to you on Mother's Day, Mothering Sunday of all days, thinking about family life, relationships, is this. God wants to be your Father. Won't you receive him? Place your trust and your faith in him. You get a new identity that way. No longer lost, but found. No longer blind, you can see. And now you call him Father. He calls you his son, his daughter. I wanted to come here today. Thank you so much for inviting me, especially today, but I wanted to say this. I commend Father God to you. I commend to you the big family of God. I know there's a lot in this room here today who are already in that family. And that is great and that is wonderful. But what about you? Are you in that family? Do you belong to Father God? Well, wouldn't it be lovely if today you made a choice? I want to be in this family. You know what family life's about. You know how important relationship is. Choose him. Follow him. You do that by choosing Jesus. Give your life to him. Now, God bless those very simple thoughts to us. And God bless you all in your families, in your homes. Most of all, may you find Father God for yourself.